Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sanctifies all things. Amen. Elijah is in the middle of a drought. He's been living near a wadi, a little water hole, where he has been receiving comfort and living. And then the Lord comes to him and says, "Now, Elijah, go to Zarephath, and there a widow will take care of you." I wonder what kind of widow Elijah had in mind. I mean, it would not have necessarily been good news, given that widows in the early ancient world would have had no status and no property, often were at the hands of poverty. And yet, it is to a widow that God sends Elijah. So he goes out to Zarephath. And who does he encounter by the gate but a widow gathering sticks together? And he says to her, "Now put yourself in her place. There you are gathering up sticks for your last meal. And here comes the prophet. Could you bring me some water, please?" "Okay." And as she's walking away, "And by the way, could you bring me a cake? I'd like to have some lunch." And she looks at him and she says, "Master, as your Lord, I love that line, as your Lord lives, I tell you that I have nothing baked. Only a handful of flour and a little oil in the bottom of my jug, and I'm gathering these sticks together to make a cake and eat it with my son so that we can die." She is at the end of her rope. And Elijah says to her the words of the angel, "Do not be afraid. Just go and do it. First, go and make a little cake for me, and then for you and for your son. The jar of meal will not run out, and the jug of oil will not be emptied." She must have thought she was in the presence of lunacy, but she goes and she does it. And indeed, the story says to us that not only was the jar not emptied with the first cake or the meal used up with the second cake, but there was enough for Elijah and for the widow and her son and for her whole household. There was plenty. In her encounter with the prophet, the widow's horizons are lengthened and broadened by faith. She begins in the story with a very narrow vision, just today. If you've been around impoverished people, you'll know that that's enough. If I could just get through today. And so she had gathered up enough sticks to go and make her final meal for her son and herself. And suddenly this vision, this person, comes into her life and expands her horizon in faith. The God of Elijah creates something out of nothing. Now, what's interesting is that both Elijah and the woman are fed in much the same way. Sometimes we focus on the widow who, here at the end of her life, receives this miraculous infusion of food, and somehow her life is transformed. But not just her life, the life of her household, of her son, but also of Elijah. In the giving of this gift through God, Elijah also is changed. Fast forward. Jesus, standing around the temple near the treasury, notices all the priests who are standing around in long robes and praying and bringing notice to themselves. And a widow comes and puts in 2 lepta, 2 copper coins worth about a penny. Now, over the years when I've both preached and heard preaching about this text, I've always envisioned this widow as being this small, little, humble woman hiding around the corner, waiting so that no one can see. Because what she has isn't really worth anything, is it? It's a kind of disgraceful sort of gift. 2 pennies? And so I had this vision of her sneaking up to the little box and plopping it down in there and then running away. And Jesus says, "Did you see her? She gave more than everyone." But in these last few years, I've begun to develop a different picture in my head of the widow. And I see her strong and proud with her 2 pennies in her hand, walking up to the box and giving it all. Not ashamed, but with a broadened horizon of her life. She gives it all. She doesn't draw attention to herself. She doesn't say, "Oh, woe is me. Look, I've just given everything." She puts it in the box and she walks away. Now, Jesus lifts up this person who gives all that she has in the whole world for the benefit of others without drawing any attention to herself. He lifts up that picture for the disciples. Why? Well, in the easy, this was my annual stewardship sermon. I would say, well, because you should be more like the widow. You should just give more. Sacrificial giving, that's what it's about. And it's true. Certainly, we need to hear what Jesus says about those of us who stand around in long robes and who have too much. We are truly devouring the houses of widows. We live in a nation with a small population relative to the population of the world, and we consume the vast majority of the world's resources. We are widow house eaters, and we just have to come to grips with it. If this was my normal kind of stewardship sermon, I would suggest that, in fact, if you were going to have your horizons broaden in a good and healthy way, you would indeed give more so that the church might flourish. But I think the picture of the widow is not so much one of a good example, but I think in this text, she is Christ. Not many weeks after this story, they will hang a sacrifice on a cross. Now, for us, it's a big deal. Being Christians, we look at that whole passion story and the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, and we are scandalized by it, to use that good biblical word. We see in it this incredible power of God's inbreaking into the world, this kairotic moment in which everything was changed. But for the average Greek or average person on the street, they walked by that cross and saw another dead Jew. Who cares? He's worthless. He's a traitor. He's just another dead Jew. Why should we care? And yet, out of that worthless sacrifice, that dead Jew probably hardly worth two pennies, or certainly not worth a second thought, God changes everything. Claims the world again as God's own. Creates around that two penny Jew a world of love and grace. So suddenly we begin to see that the widow's sacrifice is not so worthless after all. Though Jesus' life was poured out on the cross, the jar did not remain empty. Though the bread of his body was spent, it remains plentiful forever. Our horizon and our vision is broadened by the sacrifice and the giving of this God who loves us so much that he gave his only son to die. And there is no amount of riches or gold, money or stuff that we can give to compare to that worthless gift. So as we leave this place today and go about our lives with its wealth and its riches and our comfort and our devouring of widows' homes, we must also have our lives transformed and be poured out for the sake of the gospel. And I think the words to the widow at Zarephath ring also true for us. That when God's body is brought to bear, when Christ's people are brought to bear on the suffering of the world, when we do give up our needs and become generous, the meal does not run out, and the jar is not empty, and the widows do not go hungry. Amen.